Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. One thing I forgot to tell you when Simon was on my show during this past hour, Simon Parks from England, this whole studio lit up in this beautiful angelic light. And now I think I have some fantastic people on for this show, too. And I think one of the first people I'll be interviewing is a wonderful lady named Asara Adams, who's direct communication with the Pleiadians. She'll be channeling them in just a few minutes. And when I brought her on the line here a few minutes ago from Mount Shasta, this more angelic light came into the studio. So if you're on the station website, you can see the light now in the studio. Please go to www.1150kknw.com, and there should be a little tab for YouTube or listen live to Out of This World, and you'll be able to see the light here. There's lots of beautiful angelic light here in the studio. Before we start, I wanted to tell everyone that the purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that if we all work together and with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. During this first 15 minutes or so of this hour, I brought in a channeler who talks to the Pleiadians on a regular basis, Asara Adams from Mount Shasta, California. And she'll be channeling the Pleiadians in just a few minutes. And I also received a message from the Pleiadians, which I'll be reading here in a few minutes. And then I'll be bringing on a wonderful natural doctor. Well, I think he's one of the best in the world, Dr. Cairo Roca from his hometown in Brazil, of all places. And I just want to say hi to both of them now. Sarah, how are you? Can you hear us okay?
I'm wonderful, Ted. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's so good to have you on. And Cairo, Dr. Roca, are you there?
Yes, greetings to you, Ted, and your beautiful audience. Happy to be here with you.
Oh, good.
Today.
Oh, good. I really like Cairo. He's got fantastic energy, and he'll be one of my speakers as well at the Galactic Wisdom Conference this April 12th, 13th, and 14th here in Olympia, Washington. I wanted to remind everyone I'll be on an Ascension call with myself, Michiko Hayashi, Modal Peace Project, Linda Salina from Australia, Peter Sterling from Sedona. Asara will be on, Asara Adams. Jared Rand does wonderful meditations. Mike Alford, wonderful shaman. Zora, Zarea, and Billy, of course. It'll be on Saturday, December 29th, 2018. It'll start at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a free conference call. You can listen to all of us speak about the Ascension. The dial-in number is area code 641-715-0632. And again, that number is area code 641-715-0632. The access code is 554387. Again, that's 554387. I'll also get this posted on my website by next week. So if you missed it, don't worry. It'll be there. To start us off, I'd like to have Nathan, my wonderful director today, to play a Bean Shift. This is a recording done by Billy Meyer in 1977 of a Pleiadian beam ship leaving the Simaji Silver Star base outside of Zurich, Switzerland, going back to their home, their home ship around the planet. But I wanted to play this now. It's about 30 seconds long. There's been a lot of analysis of that recording since it was made in the mid-70s, and in order, the sound experts have said that it's impossible to duplicate. So for those skeptics out there, that is an actual recording of a Pleiadian's beam ship leaving planet Earth for their ship surrounding this planet. This is a direct message I received some days ago from the Pleiadians, and they wanted me to read it today. We are coming here to assist and change the consciousness of planet Earth to a higher vibration. They heard us when we asked for help after the so-called fires in California. And the tiredness that many people have been feeling worldwide are from the higher energies which we are now sending you. If you're tired, please know that there's nothing wrong. Your body's just taking extra time to adjust to the new energies. This is in preparation for the planet to shift into the fourth and then to the fifth dimensions. Mother Earth will help you, Gaia, adjust to these new vibrations. She loves you so much, and she wants as many people as possible to come with her as she ascends into these higher dimensions. Please be open to it. And they also say that they will not leave until many of us ascend into the fifth dimension. As U.S. President John F. Kennedy said, this process would have been completed in the 1960s had he not been murdered. But they say that's the destiny of this planet to ascend into the higher dimensions, and now this is really accelerating. There is another Earth-like planet on the other side of this solar system. It's in the lower part of the third dimension, and many negative entities, like Bush Sr., who refuse to change, are going to this other planet. They will be there for approximately one Mayan Ketun cycle of 25,800 years. They say we wish them well and hope they will make better choices on this other planet. However, Gaia or Mother Earth has had enough of them, and she doesn't want these negative entities back. The Pleiadians, or the Seven Sisters, are all hell here to help us all ascend. They are humans just like us, and many, if not most of us here on Earth, were seeded from them so many years ago. They say, this is an exciting and wonderful time to be alive, for all of you have waited many, many thousands of years and many, many lifetimes for the ascension of this Earth and humanity to the higher dimensions. Please welcome our benevolent space brothers and sisters and be open to their messages of love and light. I have actually seen their spacecraft above my home in Olympia, Washington. If you look up in the sky tonight, just look carefully. You'll see their spacecraft as well. And with that, I'd like to bring on Asura. Asura, hi there from Mount Shasta, California. How are you today?
Hi, Ted. I'm wonderful. This is a very powerful day today. It's the winter solstice. And
that's right.
So the light is very high mm-hmm. today here in Mount Shasta and probably all over.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely. You know, I was going to mention the winter solstice and I forgot, so thank you for mentioning it. I appreciate you saying that so much.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Well, if you could tell us a little bit about what you do, and then if you could bring our Pleiadian friends in too, I'm sure they have some messages they would like to give us all.
Yes, I have been working with the Pleiadians here in Arcturian Council of Light for about 10 years now, and I am a galactic facilitator here in Mount Shasta, and with over 100 UFO sightings and interactions that are initiated by the groups that I hold here. And I also help green company owners, actually, or green companies in general, to receive higher technologies to return our planet to its original pristine state. I'm also a spiritual counselor for lightworkers all over the world to just have a greater impact in the world with ease and grace and love, mostly based on love. I'm also a channel for Archangel Michael and Adama of Telos as well. And I'm located here in Sacred Mount Shasta, powerful energy vortex, a spiritual energy center. Of course, Ted, you can attest to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, and so the Palladian Sphere and Arcturian Council of Light is a smaller collective that has chosen to work through me mm-hmm. and with me to assist with any questions that you have about ascension and really to spread the light and the love much more.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And I want to give out your the website, too, for people who want more information about your wonderful work. I've got www.teloschannel.com. That's T as in Ted, E-L-O-S, channel, C-H-A-N-N-E-L.com. And if you could, Asura, I'd love to have you bring in the Pleiadian and Arcturian Council of Light now and further messages. Thank you so much.
All right, Ted. All right, just a moment. We are here now. We love you. We are you. Aspects from your future who came back to assist you in this now moment, dear one. We bring wonderful news for this planet as the light has increased exponentially for so many individuals here, especially those of you who are listening in right now and those of you who are listening back to this recording dear ones, we invite you to open your awareness to our presence with all of you now. Per your requests, of course, always. We always work on a permission basis, and we are lovingly holding the space for you to recognize that assistance is on its way from so many realms of light, from the angelic realm, from the ascended master realm, from the elementals, and of course, from the galactic realm. Dear ones, we are your brothers and sisters, and we are no strangers. We are your family, dear ones. Dearest Ted, we want to commend you for all your wonderful work that you are doing. You are holding the highest light here as well. And so we invite you to perhaps ask us questions in how we can be of service here in this now moment to you and to the audience.
Well, thank you so much for saying those beautiful words. I really appreciate it. I guess the first question I'd like to ask is, many people have asked me, how can they make this planet a better place in their daily lives, and what kinds of things can they do, however small, to help in this ascension process?
Dear ones, the focus that each individual holds is very powerful. And if you hold the vision and the reality of a higher dimensional world, of the new Earth, dear ones, this is where your strength lies, dear ones. Your power and intent creates your reality. And as you continue to focus on love-based experiences and bring in the light, the better you can be of service. So even if you have no capacities whatsoever in your life, if you simply take a moment in your meditation to hold the vision of the new Earth that is love-based and light-based of oneness, you are creating a new world, dear ones. It is very simple, and the more you are staying in this now moment where your greatest power lies and you bring in the light and you begin to connect with the higher beings of light, such as ourselves and the angels and the ascended masters and so forth, the more you are interacting and the more you are open to your own shift and your own awakening. And if you are kind to yourself and to your journey, dear one, the better your contribution is.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. May I ask one more question?
Yes, please.
Many of us here on planet Earth, all of us probably deal with sometimes negative people and negative situations and negative events. What's the best way to handle negativity?
Again, dear ones, the people around you will live up to the vision you have about these people. And if you continue to reinforce a negative picture of them or a negative experience of them, so be it. And if you hold the light-based and love-based experience for them, so be it as well, dear ones. It is time for humanity to recognize that you are the creators of your own reality, individually and collectively. And so therefore, we invite you to begin to allow for the shift also for others. In other words, if you continue to say and tell the story of how bad the world is and how bad the people are, so be it, because it does create your reality. When you begin to change your story, that things are improving and that things are getting better, and that you look for the indicators and for the evidence for things improving, you are creating this reality. And so therefore, you have great assistance for that process. However, this is part of your awakening, as you are an expression of God. You are an extension of God. And that means that you are the creator as well on this planet here. And so therefore, if you ask for our assistance or for any assistance of the light, we are here 24 hours a day for you, dear ones. And perhaps with your permission, dearest Ted, may we offer a direct experience experience with us for the audience?
Yes, of course. That would be beautiful. Yes, please. Go right ahead.
Wonderful. And Ted, we invite you as well to tune in, as you are so very enlightened, and to feel for the energies in our presence as well.
Right, thank you.
So now, you're welcome, dear one. So now we begin, and we invite all of you who are listening to this right now in this moment and who are listening back to it later, relax. And close your eyes. And now for those of you who wish to have a direct experience, simply state, I am ready.
I am ready.
And so now, relax and simply feel our presence. Some of you might feel a slight tingling on your hand or on your forehead or in your auric field. Some of you might hear a little buzzing or ringing. And we will be quiet now for just 1 minute. Allow for your experience to unfold, dear ones. You are loved deeply.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Both of my hands are tingling. I can feel the tingle in them. Beautiful. And there's more angelic light in my studio, too. It's getting very bright white light. Beautiful.
How wonderful, dearest brother. What else?
Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming to our assistance, for helping humanity in the ascension process. And I think I speak for all of my listeners worldwide, but we all appreciate you so much for helping us. Because I know this time we are going to ascend into the fourth and then quickly into the fifth dimension, and it's not that far off. And
that is true. Yes. We thank you for all of you, for all of your presence, for all of your awakening, for all your shifting, and for all your love. Yes, indeed.
Thank you, my dear friends. And then if any of my listeners want to contact you, is it best just to be in a good place, high vibration, meditate, and ask for assistance? Is that a good way?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. All right.
Your intention is the highest form. Now, you made this intention before you even came into this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And your higher self is orchestrating any interactions with us and with all galactic civilizations of light, because some of you have other lineages as well with other galactic civilizations of light. So your higher self is orchestrating all of them. It's all happening at the same and the right, correct time for each of you, dear ones. And so therefore, trust your higher self. You are sovereign. You are sovereign humans, and it is up to you to now ask for our assistance, which is the only way we can actually provide you with this assistance. It has to be based on free will, as this is a free will planet. And so lovingly, we are surrounding this planet with millions of ships at this time. And we are simply in a waiting position. And whenever a collective or an individual is asking for our assistance, we are here in less than a second, dear ones, because we travel faster than the speed of thought, dear buddy. So yes, and we want to confirm, when you feel tired now, it is very, very important to honor this and to, if you can, to rest and meditate and allow for your physical body to be upgraded on a DNA and cellular level for this of your ascension. Because the reason is for this upgrade so that you do not have to die in order to move into the higher dimension. You take your physical body with you. And for that, many upgrades have to happen to allow for more light to reside in the cells of your body. So enjoy these times, dear ones. Focus on the new earth. Focus on what you wish to see in the world. Focus on what you wish to see for yourself and for others. Only collect the evidence of it and be the light, be the love. This is all we can share with you for now, and we want you to know how much and how dearly you are loved. Until we speak again, we are complete.
Thank you, my dear.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much for coming on. And sorry, I'm so happy you were able to do this for my audience. Thank you so much for coming on today. I'll have you on again.
Hi, everybody.
You're back. All
hi,
right.
Hi, Ted. It's me. Hi, I'm nice back. I wanted to thank you also again for having me on such short notice. It was very spontaneous.
Very spontaneous.
I was so happy to meet you, Ted, and it's a great honor. And I'm very honored to be a part of your show here today.
Well, great. I was having a section on the Pleiadians, and I don't want to forget about my good friend, Dr. Cairo. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. I'm here, Ted, enjoying every minute of it.
Okay, good. I was going to ask if you had a question for the Pleiadians, but they've left. But for next show. So.
Okay.
But it was perfect timing because I was having this segment on the Pleiadians, and when you said you've been channeling them, I said you're the person I was looking for. So this worked out perfect. So. Well, to reiterate once again, that was Sarah Adams. We'll be all on she and a lot of other wonderful psychics will be on, and spiritual people will be on what I call the Summit Ascension Call. It'll be on Saturday, December 28th, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Mountain, or 3 p.m. Pacific Time here in Seattle. It's a free conference call. The area code again is area code 641-715-0632, and the access code is 55437 hashtag or pound sign. And with that, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Ted.
All righty. Okay. All right. Bye-bye and namaste.
Bye-bye. Namaste.
With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend, Dr. Cairo Rocha. I hope you don't mind me saying this, Cairo, but you're so modest. I think you're one of the most interesting and well-known natural health doctors in the world, specializing in acupuncture, hypnosis, feng shui, and ancient Chinese medicine techniques. You have an office actually located in the Bahamas, but your hometown is in Brazil, where you're visiting with family now. You have a PhD in natural health sciences from the University of Natural Medicine in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as well as another doctorate in oriental medicine from the Tokyo Acupuncture College in Tokyo, Japan. You also have a law degree from Brazil. And in 2005, you published a book called Anger Goes Up, Fear Goes Down, Emotions and the Hidden Link. You will be a speaker at my upcoming Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States, April 12th to the 14th. And I'm so happy you could come on today. Cairo, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Ted. I'm so happy to be on your show again. And listening to you and your enthusiasm, it's very uplifting, as always. Well, thank you very much again for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much, Cairo. I have to ask you, You studied law in Brazil, and then you decided to go to acupuncture and the health field. What made you change your mind, or what made you go into the health field?
Well, it was a very interesting story. It's not that one day I woke up and say, well, I'd like to study acupuncture. Mm-hmm. It's far from there. Although, looking back in retrospective, when I was, I think I was 6 or 7 years of age, when I was a boy, I used to have this recurrent dream at the time. I used to dream that I had this huge hand, almost at the side of the room, and I was trying desperately to hold a needle. And that created a certain anxiety, and I would start crying. My mom would come and comfort me. So I had some sort of insight mm-hmm. or premonition
wow.
of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But from the start, I studied geology. I studied geology, but at some point, I felt the need that I wanted something that would bring me close to people. So I studied law, I became a lawyer, but it wasn't exactly what I was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
I said there must be something out there that I haven't touched yet. And then one day I saw this ad in the newspaper, Douyin Weekend. Douyin is Japanese acupressure
mm-hmm.
technique.
Mm-hmm.
And for some mysterious reason, I was drawn to this place, to this seminar, and I went, and that was it. It changed my life. It
wow.
changed my focus.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, I was going to Japan to study acupuncture.
Wow, amazing. For those of you who don't know what acupuncture is, could you explain it, just a brief statement, what it is?
Well, basically, acupuncture is one of the oldest Chinese, or maybe it's the oldest Chinese technique that uses acupuncture needles
mm-hmm.
to stimulate points along the meridians. There's like those energy lines on your bodies.
Right.
You can understand this some sort of like a code or language
mm-hmm.
that the body can understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's to say, by applying acupuncture here and there, it's like telling your body, do this, do that, and stimulate the body's own resources. That's the beauty of it.
Hmm. Wonderful. That's incredible. Tell me, is it the body has different energy centers so that if you put a pin or a needle in a certain sector, it activates something or turns off something? Is that a correct characterization of how acupuncture works?
Yeah, basically, when you in the beginning, you look for points, you take some measurements, you try to be more precise. But as you get older or more mature, you just rely on your feelings.
Hmm.
Sometimes I just look at somebody, I know where to apply the needle, hmm. or sometimes not even use needles at all, just a thought or just a touch. Because one thing, Ted, that I realized from all these 35 years that I've been involved with acupuncture and Chinese medicine is that our body has changed
mm-hmm.
completely, has become more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need the same amount of stimulation as we used to.
Interesting.
Sometimes all you need is just to think about it, and then energy is moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling, even for myself.
Hmm. That's interesting, because I know that we've what's called the Schumann resonance, or the frequency of planet Earth, has been going way up for many thousands of years. And I've talked about this in my show too. The frequency of planet Earth, or the Schumann resonance, was 7.8 hertz, and then that changed in September
yes.
2016, and as recently as October 22nd, it was up to 427 hertz. I'm not sure what it is now, but I know the frequency of love, for example, is 528 hertz. And so, in a way, our bodies are getting lighter and having a much higher dimension. And so perhaps that's the reason why you don't need as heavy a touch as you used to several years ago with using acupuncture techniques or energy techniques.
Absolutely. In the old days, you need a strong stimulation. You have the different needles, different forms, as I said. But again, like you said very well, the Schumann resonance has changed.
Yeah.
Lots of things, because up to a few years ago, the concept of Schumann resonance was mostly like a pulsating energy, right?
Right.
But now with the change of Earth ascending, everything has become more continuous
mm-hmm.
energy, frequency, and that's definitely affecting our bodies. is affecting the way we treat your body, the way you see things. Absolutely, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, interesting. Now, feng shui is an interesting area. Tell us a little bit about feng shui. I've heard of it, but I'm not sure exactly how it works.
Well, basically, feng shui is art of placement. This is ancient Chinese art of placement that basically you try to harmonize your environment, your house, your dwelling, your office, so as to capture, to attract beautiful energy, to facilitate the flow. But we have what we call feng shui from earth. This is basically what we do to arrange things. And also we have feng shui from heaven, which is we call the potential, what we have in stock for us. So by harmonizing our feng shui from earth, we attract the energies from feng shui from heaven. And basically, the reason why I got attracted to this is that in the past, I used to observe that, you know, a patient would come to my office and was treated and then went back home and things changed. Maybe like things were back to the square one or something. So the next thing I would ask the person if I could visit the place to see if there's anything in their environment that would be contributing for the problem. That's how I got involved into feng shui for therapy reasons. Okay.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, I remember feng shui, if I'm not mistaken, Cairo, that's used also for architecture and design. And if for example, a stove or a refrigerator is right facing each other, that's not good feng shui because they're sending energies. It's better to have them both facing outward. Or could you give us some examples of that for homes or
absolutely. Options? I've seen so many examples of that. A few years ago, I was invited to feng shui a restaurant in Nassau. The owner, a friend of mine, said it was a problem. The people work in the kitchen, they're not going along well. There was some sort of disharmony. So she invited me. So I went there and realized that the stove was in front of the fridge. So they were facing each other,
right,
which was contributing to the disharmony. You know, because it's two different energies facing each other, and the workers were passing through that, you know, that disharmony, you know, that waves of disharmony. So what I suggest was to apply a little magnet with a mirror or a mirror with a magnet on the fridge, which in Chinese medicine means to eliminate the obstacle. So that was it. That's all I did, and it was perfect.
So you
no more problem.
Oh well, interesting. So you put a mirror on the face of the refrigerator with a magnet, and that directed the energies from the stove on the other side somewhere else. Is that right?
Yes, feng shui. We call mirrors aspirins of feng shui. It can use to appear to disappear things. It can use to deflate energies that comes and goes. So you can use for many things, but that one of the main uses of when you have two different energies facing each other.
Well, interesting. Now, you give a fascinating talk, Cairo, on vegetables. Like, for example, tomatoes, for example, when you slice a tomato in half, it looks like the interior of a tomato looks like the interior of a heart. Could you, I know it's probably a lot to talk about, would you mind touching on that for my audience? I think they'd find that fascinating, your lecture on vegetables.
Absolutely. This is my favorite subject. It's called Doctrine of Signatures.
Okay.
Doctrine of Signatures was a concept that was developed by Paracelsus in 16th century that says that the shape, the flavor, and the color of a plant indicate the disease is capable of healing. It's like a reminder of the existence of God in the plant kingdom. A good example I can give you is like ginseng. Ginseng in Chinese means ren shen, that means man root, and use a general tonic, universal remedy, and promotes longevity. So if you look at the root of ginseng, I don't know if you have, but it looks just like a human being.
Really?
Wow. So we have this holistic approach. It's beautiful. The other one is that I like is, of course, there's a plant called lungwort. Lungwort resembles like infected lungs. If you look like a diseased lung, the lung with problem, this plant looks just like that. And guess what? It's wonderful for anything to do with lungs.
Which plant is that again? You cut out a little bit. What was that again?
It's called lungwort.
Oh, lungwort. Okay.
Lungwort. Yeah. Another good example is walnuts. If you look at walnuts, it looks just the brain, right? The two hemispheres of a brain. You know, and in, now we know that the walnuts are rich in omega-3 fats. They help to develop neurotransmitters. So what they used to believe in those days, now we are confirming with our science.
That's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
And so look at the tomato, as you said very well.
Right.
The tomato is like heart. It has is red, right, and has four chambers, just like a heart. And now we know that it's rich in lycopene and potassium. That's wonderful for the heart. So here we are confirming what the ancient people used to say in the old days.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I have to ask you this question, Cairo. What about genetically modified vegetables? Does that harm their ability to help humans?
Well, I feel that the quality of the vibration changes.
Right.
Okay. I cannot argue whether it's good for you or not. I cannot. I will not, because it depends on the circumstances. But what I can say is, in terms of energy, it changes. I've seen this before. If you give a corn to a cow, if you let a cow choose a genetic modified corn and a non-genetic modified corn to choose, the cow will always choose the normal one. You never choose a genetic modified corn. I've seen this many times. So I would say that without questioning, because it's too early for us to say anything, but what I can say is it's different from the energy point of view.
Interesting. Okay.
And some people are very sensitive. People have allergies. It could trigger something.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Cairo. You know, there's so much to talk about. On your website, which is www.cairoroca.com, that's C-A-I-R-O, then R-O-C-H-A.com, you talk about sounds in Chinese medicine, and you write, an ancient Chinese medicine, Chinese self-healing technique, originally known only to Taoist masters. And you talk about sounds in traditional Chinese medicine, their effect on sounds on and their effect on us, specific vibrations for physical and emotional disorders, and sound frequencies for stress and anxiety. Could you talk a little bit about that? I know we're covering a lot of ground today, but that really caught my eye.
Just before I go ahead, just to let you know that my website has changed.
Okay.
It's BahamasAcupuncture.com.
Okay, Bahamas.
Yes. If you travel to Tibet, as I did a couple of times, or China, you realize that certain temples were built on top of mountains, and you can imagine how hard it was to bring all those building materials to the top of that mountain.
Sure.
And all stones of all size and shape. And now we know, especially from the Tibetan point of view, there were some sounds that were used to levitate. Some frequencies that used to levitate stones to the top of the mountain. So they knew about it. And the Chinese knew also that there's some frequencies, whether are frequencies that are played by instruments or vocal, what you say, that you could change the energy, you can change the pattern. There are sounds that have more to do with the lungs. There are sounds to do with the liver. So there are different aspects of Chinese medicine that dedicate exclusively to colors and sounds.
Wow. Fascinating.
There is a beautiful, I hope I can show you at some point, Ted. There is a beautiful video. I don't know where I got this, but this shows somebody with a tumor in the bladder. It's like a bladder tumor.
Right.
And they're showing through a CAT scan or something like that.
Right.
And some monks are standing by the person on the bedside, that side of the person. And With some mantras, you see the tumor reducing until disappearing. Totally.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
To that extent, yes. It's absolutely true, and I've been seeing this more and more, not only sounds, but also colors, as a result of what's going on with our bodies getting more subtle. Uh-huh. So we're getting more susceptible to this kind of treatment as well.
Wow. Now, you mentioned colors. Can people wear, for example, different colored clothing to help them with their physical third-dimensional problems?
Absolutely. One thing I can say is that the colors, if you look at your wardrobe, you see that there are certain patterns of colors
right.
that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Basically, from the energy point of view, the colors you love are the colors you need. And the colors you don't like is the colors you have enough in terms of energy. There's a reason why you feel attracted to certain colors, because you need them, right?
Wow.
And the colors you don't like, it's because you have enough.
Okay. Well, let's...
So, yes, you can have use, especially if you look at the study, the five elements.
Right.
You see that the... liver and gallbladder are connected to green color.
Mm-hmm.
So that means any green color, like wearing green or eating green foods, green color food, vegetables. If you, for fire element means heart, you will feel attracted to red, either to wearing red or to eat food that has a red color, such as tomato, as I said, or strawberries, and so forth. So there are different colors that are connected to particular organs in Chinese medicine.
Wow, that's fascinating. What about bananas that are yellow? Is there a correlation there as well? Or like, let's say, yellow lemons, for example?
Yeah, what you say is basically, if I tell you, if I mention, for instance, watermelon, when you think of watermelon, the first thing that comes to your mind is not the green aspect of it, but it's the red aspect of it,
right.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The red, beautiful, delicious red. Mm-hmm. So when you think of banana, you don't think of banana, the white, the fruit itself, but you think about the peel, right? The mm-hmm. yellow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And being yellow, it's very closely associated with earth element, meaning the stomach and spleen.
Uh-huh.
It's wonderful for digestion. So if you have any digestive issues, especially if you are feeling about depleted of energy, mm-hmm. bananas is your best friend.
Interesting. What about something, maybe something like purple corn, as an example? What would
which one?
Purple corn. I know I've seen
purple.
That before. In South America they have it. In India too, they have purple corn, especially South America.
Well, purple corn is interesting. Everything purple is to do with the kidneys. The kidneys love anything purple, anything darkish, like grapes.
Mm-hmm.
It has a tremendous impact. And corn, it has two elements here. Corn is associated with the spleen, digestion.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's purple, it has also something to do with kidneys.
Oh,
so by eating purple corn, you're activating two meridians or two organs,
mm-hmm.
the kidneys and the spleen. So it's very nourishing and very uplifting as far as energy is concerned. And it's particularly suitable to people who have diabetes.
Wow.
People who have sugar intolerance.
Wow.
Okay?
That's amazing. What about...
Yeah.
Okay, I know this is fascinating. What about olives, like black olives, for example?
Yeah, black olives, again, it falls in the same category, like the kidneys. Because originally the olives, it's a bit hard when you find in nature, but because they're pickled, there's some elements of salt mixed with it. And then it has a tremendous impact on the kidneys,
mm-hmm.
especially the adrenals.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel a bit very depleted and tired, it's very good to eat some olives occasionally.
Wow.
Because it activates your adrenals as well.
Interesting. I don't eat meat. Generally speaking, but let's say we're talking about beef, for example, the red colored of beef. Would that be good for your heart, or what that color is, or if I'm asking the right question, I'm like, oh, that's right. We're talking about vegetables. I was wondering about meats as well. Does this apply as well to meats too?
Yeah. Basically, when we talk about food, we're talking about as nature, like plants and seeds, and we call primary foods. It's okay. Like the meat is a secondary food because the cow has eaten the primary food, right. Grass, and meat is a secondary. Mm-hmm. But what I can say about meat is that, as a person, if you ask me, is it okay to eat meat? Mm-hmm. As a person, I say being vegetarian is the way to go, as a person.
Sure.
But as a therapist, I cannot say that. I cannot honestly say that, because it depends what you do. It depends what sort of meat for your work. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of things to be considered. So whether it's a very important rule, which is moderation and common sense.
Sure.
There are times you need something. There are times you need something else.
I saw.
If you were a monk, lived on top of the mountain, that'll be a different story.
Oh, sure. Well, I have to tell you this story, friends listening today. I was on Facebook yesterday, and there was a Facebook post from the Daily Mail in the UK, and they had this picture of this lady who her hair was all discombobulated, and she looked. This wild-eyed look in her face, and she looked like she was maybe a little crazy. And the headline beneath it is that scientist says being a vegetarian leads to insanity. So I don't agree, but anyway, I wanted to share that with you, Cairo, today, which was kind of funny. Wow. Well, if somebody comes to you, for example, with depression, do you look at their diet to see what they're eating? Because can certain foods lead to depression, by the way? Can a diet help with depression?
Yeah, absolutely. We cannot escape that, Ted. Wherever you are at in life, whatever you're dealing with, you cannot escape what sort of energy you bring into your body. Mm-hmm. That's a given. Mm-hmm. But in light of what I've been studying recently, this year, mm-hmm. August, mm-hmm. I presented my presentation in Montreal at the conference.
Sure.
Was about the friendly bacteria, your microbiome. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And we realized that in your gut, in your intestines, we have 95% of the serotonins, the feel-good hormones, are created in your guts, in your intestines. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a second brain. Mm-hmm. Therefore, one of the things, the studies have been so amazing, especially coming from universities in Ireland. Mm-hmm. They have the point, there are certain strains of probiotics that address exactly elements of anxiety or depression. So it's absolutely what you eat, ultimately, is going to contribute to how you feel and how you act. So this is just a proof of what the Chinese have been talking about for the past 5,000 years.
Do you think something like this should be taught in medical schools around the world?
Yes. Interestingly enough, I have a niece. She's beginning medical school. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her, if I were her, if I have to go back, I would study nutrition, by all means. Mm-hmm. And especially, the probiotic, especially those friendly bacteria that live inside us.
Right.
I can say that we are only 43% humans. You and I, we're only 43% humans.
Uh-huh.
Everything else are bacteria and microorganisms.
How fascinating. I had no idea. Well, I know we're...
Millions and millions of bacteria inside us.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that, you can never say I'm alone. You can never say that I'm alone because we have this huge...
How funny.
Friend. Not a friend.
Well, I always say I'm never alone because I have my spirit family with me, which is always fun to talk to, but...
Not to mention that.
on another angle, of course, as Mitch Kohayashi and the Emoto office say in Tokyo, they say that we're 70% water. And so what's the rest of us then if we're 70% water? And I guess we're materials. So and the earth is 70% water. And they say, of course, that we resonate with Mother Earth or Gaia because because of we are the same proportion as Mother Earth is.
Absolutely, and the same frequency, the same way that the let's say the moon would influence the tides. Because of that connection, it's also influenced the fluids, everything that's inside our bodies.
Right.
Absolutely. Wow. Hormones and everything.
I was going to ask you, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I'm really enjoying this conversation with you, Cairo. I want you to feel free to discuss anything you like that in the health field or interesting topics you're working on now.
Yes. One thing that I've been, I thank you for asking this question, Ted, because I've been dealing with quite often, I have people coming to me for addictions, mm-hmm. Like cigarettes, smoking, alcohol, drugs. Mm-hmm. And basically, you won't see this in any books anywhere, but based on my own experience is that in the Bahamas, not so much now, but in the past, it was very common for young children to be sent abroad to study boarding schools.
Right.
Either in the States, Canada, or England.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Chinese, only at 7 years of age, your magnetic field is you finally energetically complete. Prior to that, we are almost like a Swiss cheese full of holes and things.
Really? Wow.
So when you're sent abroad, you are depleted. The family nourishment, love nourishment
right.
from your parents.
Right.
And that creates a void in your earth elements, with the center of your being.
Wow.
And later on in life, whether you're aware of this or not, you try to bring substances to fill this void.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And unless you address this, either with energy or treatment or whatever that is,
sure.
it would be very difficult to treat addictions successfully.
I see. Wow, that's amazing.
Okay, because there's a void there. And that's what I've been addressing lately, is like try to fill this void,
mm-hmm.
and then you can achieve something.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing. And you do it in a natural way, too. You don't use drugs particularly?
No.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
Now you can see the foods that would be good for earth elements, like it's an example, something that's yellow color, or things that grow under the earth, such as roots, carrots, sweet potatoes, or anything.
Uh-huh.
And also you can use any therapy, such as acupuncture, massage, colors, anything that would influence or could activate earth elements. Then you can be successful.
We've got about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, Cairo, have you ever thought about having a natural food restaurant for people? I mean, you could even prescribe, for example, olives for someone, or for the spleen, or the fresh tomatoes for the heart. And it would be, I think it would be a big success. People would be really interested in your menus.
Well, actually, I thought about that, because in China, in old places of China, remote areas, there is what they call Yosan.
Uh-huh.
It's a kind of restaurant that you go there, and there's somebody at the door checking your pulses, doing diagnosis to see what problem you have.
Oh, interesting.
And it prescribes something. You give it to the waiter, and the waiter takes it to the chef, and the chef prepares the food that you need with ingredients that you need. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
It's crossed my mind.
Oh, my goodness. That's fascinating. That is totally fascinating. We've got about 45 seconds left, 30 seconds, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Cairo. Could you give your website again for people to get more information about your wonderful work?
Yeah, it's www.bahamasacupuncture.com.
Wonderful. Well, Cairo, I'm so looking forward to seeing you here in Olympia, Washington, in the Seattle area next April. And I hope you and your family have a really wonderful and happy Christmas. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Ted, and your audience. And a big hug, and say hello to Michiko for me.
I sure will. She's
Merry
probably.
Christmas.
I sure will. And with that, I'd like to play Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension, because we are entering into the Fifth Dimension now, my friends, and the planet started us ascending, and many of us are also ascending with her. And I hope you all have a really beautiful and happy weekend. Thank you so much for listening today. Bye-bye, everyone, and Merry Christmas.